Welcome back to the Challenge Final Reckoning Rap Podcast for the reunion. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ally Usher. Ally, how are you?
I'm feeling weird.
Oh, boy.
How are you?
I'm good. Now I'm curious. Why weird?
It's not this whole... I watched both parts today, so maybe that is increasing the weirdness, but this whole reunion was weird.
How so?
I mean, we'll get to it, right? Like, it's, I could start right now, but I feel very weird about the whole thing. I mean, what was your impression? You clearly did not feel weird, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was... If by weirder you mean a little darker than normal, I thought it was a little darker. I thought there was a little more, like, hatred amongst some of the people. It wasn't as, like, lighthearted in parts, where even some of the fights just felt like there was, like, real animosity in times. And then, like, the whole Bananas and Devin thing wasn't really, that was obviously was not very enjoyable from all parts. So it was weird. That's fair. We can go with weird.
There was no joy. It wasn't fun. And people are going to be like, oh, wait, you guys were so down on it. And like, yeah, I am down. And I've actually been down as a result of having watched this all day. Like, I took on some emotional weight from watching certain parts of this. And I like tried to get that out before the podcast. I texted Molly Block incessantly. I tweeted about it. I tried to like post in the Facebook group. Like, I was trying to work it out before I got here. I don't feel like it's fully been worked out, and unfortunately, here we are.
Is Molly Block referred to by first and last name always, or do you only say that for the podcast purposes? I really hope she's just always Molly Block.
I mean, you know, we haven't been on a college campus in a long time. I don't know what, like, the people do, but I do. Like, in my personal friendship with her, I do.
I love it.
Well, like, she's one of those people. Like, so, I mean, I always refer to you as Brian Cohn.
I guess so.
Or I'm sorry, Cohen Brian underscore.
Cohen Brian underscore. I know my horrible, that needs to change Twitter handle, I'm sure.
We do what we can. It was fun. Kyle Picard kept track of Rourke and my drinking game. We got some hits on Rourke's side for the first round, on my side for the second round. So that was fun. Overall, I think a good segment for the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like the drinking game in general. Yeah, I think it's better than the fantasy game. I feel like took a turn. We need to get away from that. So this was a more lighthearted way to do it, and kind of fits the theme more of the challenge.
What did you think of the fizz? I mean, that's what Rourke and I, because, oh, wait, I'm sorry. What did you think of the finale? It's been a long time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't been here since the finale. I thought of it. Wow, it's been a while since I discussed it. I just thought I had a week off in between like the reunion. I forgot. I didn't discuss the finale. I think you and Rourke covered it pretty well. I thought I've never been a big fan of the finals just because like we've always talked about the challenges aren't always the most entertaining things. But shout out to Ashley. She's great. I thought her speech at the end, while very hypocritical, was just amazing and just like a boss move. And I respected it. And I loved it. And I think they got as much as they possibly could out of the kind of steal from your partner back to back times.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if I remember multiple times like noting to the invisible you that I like look forward to hearing what you have to say about like X part and Y part. I have no recollection of what those parts are, so I don't have any questions for you about it.
I'm trying to like replay. It's always hard for me even to remember what happened like last night for the challenge. I'm trying to remember 3 weeks ago. So like, was there any major? I mean, Cara and Marie, I guess. Them drinking wine during like the overnight thing, that was pretty ridiculous. Although I think if they incorporated like a binge drinking in the final, that would be very funny. I think that could be fun and that would help even the playing field.
You mean like the beer pong challenge?
Yeah, but with actual beer and not like that milk disgusting shit.
Was that what that was? It was a disgusting thing with the beer pong. I like for some reason have that in my head like it was alcohol, but you're right, that couldn't be possible.
I really don't think they had them drink like 20 beers and then go around like a 10 mile race.
Oh, I feel so weird right now, and it's just gonna get worse. Okay, the further away I am from the final, like the more, and I know, like I am normally not a like. I am normally like a purist. Like I don't feel like reality game shows are rigged. And like to that point, I might even be naive. Like that's usually how like uninterested I am in hearing tinfoil hats on results of these things. But like I'm starting to believe that they obviously knew who was going to do what going into it. And I feel like even if I'm not saying Ashley definitely didn't win, but even if she did win, I think they would have said she won. Why in this reunion did we not see the time counts of the challenge? We didn't even talk about the results of the final besides the steal the money.
Yeah, I thought the fact that they didn't even, it wasn't even discussed at all was very odd. Like, I feel like it had to have come up and then they just didn't show it. So I'm curious, like, how that discussion went, because like you said, like, I don't know how the food portion was really delegated, but like Hunter killed that. So I feel like there's no way like he couldn't have won that. And I guess there was the rumor that like a part was cut. So maybe Ashley won like a puzzle part. Maybe Ashley won that. But for the spell out, like, oh, there was a 30-second difference between the teams, I feel like that would be a great thing to distinguish, like, oh, and then between you and Hunter, it was only, like, you know, 2 minutes or whatever. So, Hunter, you really cost yourself, like, $1 million. Like, I don't know why that didn't come up, which is why the bananas, when they did it for bananas and Sarah, where it was, like, they counted the points along the way. I think that kind of, a little more transparency with that, at least.
Yeah, and I mean, that must be the answer, right? They cut the puzzle, and that's where Ashley really made up the time somehow on Hunter, but and, like, they can't explain it, because then they'd have to explain that they cut a portion. This, you can't cut a portion if it's going to be that consequential to the result. Like, right. I mean, I'm sure the MTV gods are like, well, deal with it, and we're dealing with it, but shut me up and show me the time. Like, I just, yeah. It's so frustrating that the conclusion of this is like a trust us kind of thing.
Yeah. And you know, it's almost like, I don't know why Hunter's not more up in arms yet. I guess he's more just up in arms of Ashley stealing the money, but I would be more like, why did I lose when I clearly, I think, won almost everything?
Well, then it's like he probably, I definitely believe that it came down to a puzzle situation, but also Hunter's got to think about his longevity on the show, and I think the minute you start saying, like, this, the fix was in, you're not coming back.
Yeah. But I guess another takeaway is, let's see, I did feel really bad for Sylvia and Joss. Well, more Sylvia. Joss, I don't know. He's useless. But Sylvia, I felt like this was probably like her best chance to win, and to have it just this ripped right out in front of her was just, that just brutal. Like, to be that close, like right there, and lose. Oh, that sucks. And Natalie can't freaking read a sign. Classic Natalie.
I should really just leave it at that. The only thing is, I do feel bad for Sylvia. I don't know. I think she has like winning potential in the future as well.
Yeah. Maybe with these new age finals that take an hour, I guess it's possible. So,
what reminded me that you weren't here when we talked about the finale is that, you know, Rourke and I dubbed Dolph Ziggler, the Fizz.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler. Yeah.
He will forever be the Fizz. I can't.
It's a great name.
It's a shame because his name is so great on its own, but he is the Fizz.
Yeah, that's great.
Derek Boucher says, thoughts on the Fizz. I mean, he said the Zygmunt, but the Fizz as the host. Thought he did a pretty good job of staying on topic and calling some people out of some double standards and some hypocritical comments.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty well. I think the best thing a host of a reunion could do most of the time is kind of just stay out of the way. Just like drop a question or a follow up or two and let them handle it. And I thought he did that pretty well. So I have no complaints.
Yeah, I had no issue with him. I kind of started to forget that he was there. Like, he didn't really do much. And I think with the players being so experienced in reality television, like in general, the host doesn't really need to do much except, as you're saying, not get involved. He also seemed genuinely very happy to be there. Like, I believed that he was a fan. He was just like, had a gleeful grin on his face the whole time, which for a reunion that turned out to not be so fun, it was nice to see him having some fun.
Yeah, I just would love to know, like, so did they like call up The Miz, like get his, like, and they call up like WWE, and they just get rerouted the wrong way? Like, why? Like, I can't imagine they got another WWE superstar to do this. Like, what is their connection between the two of them? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like a Dolph's agent, the Fizz's agent, makes a call to MTV. Like, I don't know how, who's got relationships with whom, but
maybe down the line, The Rock is hosting one of these, and we'll all just enjoy that.
If anybody, I mean, I feel like this, the Fizz has a lot of fans and people are going to come for me, but if I never saw the Fizz again, I'd be fine. But he was like an unoffensive host.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a very good chance you'll never see him again. So that's very likely.
Well, if he comes back next season.
Yeah.
So this is maybe approaching the weirdness we were talking about. Connor Houchin says, what the F was this reunion? It did not feel right, even by MTV standards. And before I let you answer that, Jonathan Lilia says, apparently, I read this on Reddit a few days ago, so this is probably wrong. The producers for the trilogy came from Bad Girls Club or similar, not MTV. And they're supposedly going back to old challenge producers going forward.
I did hear that, actually. So I think that is... I don't know if they specifically came in for the trilogy, because again, the trilogy was literally made up right before the season started. So I don't know if that's a fact, but I know they are going back to old producers going forward.
So I thought this season overall was good. Like, I have no problem with in terms of like the production of the season per se, but I felt like I really noticed a difference in the way this reunion happened in terms of what we saw. There were many times, like, I think this is going to be a short podcast. I mean, it probably won't be, but like, there were many segments where I had absolutely no takeaway besides people just yelled at each other for 30 uninterrupted seconds.
No, I agree. There's a couple of things where I wrote, like, these people are fighting. I have no idea what this is about. I have no idea what they're saying. And the segment was over.
And I think that that's less of, I mean, who knows? Maybe all the footage they had of these people were just people yelling and there was no conversation. And maybe that's the Fizz's fault that he didn't sort of, like, calm it down and break it down. But I kind of feel like it's more like they had the footage and this is what they chose to present.
Yeah, I think they like when people are yelling. I don't think they're going to want to, like, oh, let's cut down on the yelling. Let's get more rational discussion. I think that the yelling and Angela having, like, flailing arms and getting up and yelling, I think that's what they go for a reunion clip. So I think they probably encourage, or at least these producers encourage that.
Yeah, I've never felt that way before, though. And I don't even mean the alternative is, like, rational discussion. I mean, just, like, set it up. Like, let them yell and be like, okay, like, what's happening, Angela? What happened? What? Like, I just felt like I didn't come away understanding what the yelling was even about, which is, I think, a failure.
I also thought they put a lot of emphasis. I know, like, the challenge is basically, like, a 365-day-a-year type thing. So, like, everything that happens outside of it is important. But I felt like they did a lot of topics on things that weren't at all involved in the season. Like, there were post-season fights that they were breaking down, and like, I don't know if that's really the right place for this, especially because it's not relevant for this season. Like, it would be more relevant for, like, a future season, but it might not even be relevant when that season comes around.
Yeah, that's interesting. It definitely felt like it was, like, too much to catch up on for the audience, you know, who's, like, the general fan. And, like, I'm following the social media, so some things I was familiar with, but then some things I had no idea about. So I think, like, the general population, it's too much to spring, like, in a group text, Kara said this, and Angela freaked out. Now let's resolve that, as opposed to let's resolve what we all saw on the show so we don't have to, like, go back.
Yeah, I'd rather, like, let's spend more time about, like, discussing, like, decisions made or like fights that happened, like, this season and what happened, you know, why Shannon Nelson did this, or, like, I don't know. I felt like they veered off track too much, especially because it was a 2-hour reunion, so they were able to get to a lot of things, and I guess maybe that's why. I'd rather them do longer segments on important stuff than, like, a lot of segments.
Well, and also, like, we didn't even get I think the biggest interest of this, like, off-season stuff or out-of-season stuff is when Shane was like, I fell in love with Nelson, you're gonna see this on the show, then we didn't really see it on the show. So you're gonna, like, pull a tweet and explain it. Let's see that one.
No, it was odd picking and choosing. Like, I think they hit a lot of the big stuff in season, but then they just tossed a lot of other stuff in there.
Most important question of the night, I think, that we're gonna cover. Bob Diddley, great name, says, who had the best outfit at the reunion? Bob says my favorite was Angela's. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, Angela was the... I'm so bad. I say to myself while watching, like, remember some outfits. I know I need to discuss some outfits. I try to remember. Angela's the only thing that, like, stood out for me just because it was just that big and, like, that, like, just wow. But the other one, for some reason, it took me, like, 20 minutes to realize who Cam was in the back row. I was like, who is that? I just couldn't recognize her until she, like, started talking.
Sorry. I'm crying because that was just a full description of Angela's boobs, not her outfit.
That's why I watch that.
It was that big and that wow. It's a skin tight jumpsuit. It's huge. No, I think you. A lot of people feel how you feel. I loved Marie's jumpsuit, and I let her know. She responded to some tweet
you
that
two I are BFFs. To do
the challenge. No,
I'm gonna wake up. I'm gonna wake up one day, and she's gonna replay. You two are gonna have your own podcast, and I'm gonna, like, call you, and you're gonna be like, no, I'm already doing it with Marie, and I'll be like, okay.
No, what's more likely is that I have Marie fill in for me, but don't tell you and see how long it takes you to figure it out. Probably 3 years.
That could go bad for me.
No, I love Marie's jumpsuit. Hayley Strong also did too. I also love glam Kara. Like, this was a new, I mean, Kara's like, you know, come in with her Converse and her leggings and it's Kara, but Kara like turned up. So good for Kara.
Do you think that has to do with, like, I know sometimes people get in a relationship that they dress how the other person they're dating dresses, and Pauly usually for the most part tries to dress nice.
That
could play a part of it. I think he tries to look good.
What show are you watching?
I guess he doesn't try to look good. This is why I don't talk about fashion, because I have the worst take, so I don't know.
I did think that, though, that, like, Kara, you know, over the last few seasons, especially when Kara was, like, with Abe, or then we saw the cheating thing, like, Kara's been sort of, like, you know, you dress how you feel, like, and now she's, like, happy and in love and at peace, and she's in this, like, gorgeous red dress for her, good for her, amazing. So I think there's something to that. I don't know that it's, like, because Pauly's such a fashion plate.
Not that he's a fat, I just think he tries to dress like a normal human as opposed to, like, Abe, so I think there's, like, at least that counterbalance.
The other thing, also, if you want to remember something, Brian, you could jot it down.
I take notes on other stuff. I should take notes on the freaking clothes.
No, you don't need
next
to.
Reunion, I will. I'd rather do it off of this fresh notes.
You definitely don't need to be paying attention to this. I think worst dress, people were coming for Corey with his, like, plaid pants. I really just did not like Nelson's yellow plastic jacket.
Yeah, that's a bold color.
And then Amanda, I have no opinion on the Romy and Michelle suit, but I swear I wore that exact outfit to my bat mitzvah. And when I go home for break, I will tweet out a picture. Like, I mean, I get that it was like a lavender suit, like lavender ladies, but it fully, like, I wore that in pink to my bat mitzvah. And
I can't wait.
I wonder if we got it in the same place. I got it at Lola's in New Jersey, so I wonder if she was shopping there.
Can't wait to find out.
Oh, I'm really enjoying myself. That's probably the last part of this podcast I'll enjoy doing.
Ooh, fun.
Today. Like, not ever, just this podcast.
Right.
Oh, we have a wardrobe-specific question. Lori Desaltals says, what were your thoughts on Ashley's upgraded bedazzled bra wardrobe?
I thought it'd been funny. She should have, this is totally sidetracking the question, but she should have, I enjoyed, like, the $1 when she gave Hunter $1. I thought she should have done more with what she was wearing to emphasize the $1 million. Like, she should have worn, like, something with, like, $1 million on it. She should have, like, throw that more in his face.
That's funny. I liked it. People were like, Ashley looked like trash. I mean, if I looked like Ashley, I'd be wearing a silver bra on TV too. Like, I think she looked great. But back, so funny you mentioned the dollar thing. Lori had a separate question, had nothing to do with the dollar thing. I'm not doing good today. Do you think Hunter did a good job answering questions and not blowing up too much on Ashley?
I mean, yeah, he didn't really blow up, but I don't think he answered questions that well because he was, like, blatantly caught, like, in a lie. Like, when he said, like, I wouldn't go after her family and wouldn't call her names, and then they pull the receipts and toss it back in his face. So I think he was kind of in a no-win situation just because he was in the wrong, so. I don't know how he was going to come out of that looking good, in my mind, at least.
Yeah, I felt like it was less about the lie then, because I felt like when he came on, he was sort of like, oh, yeah, I'm disappointed in myself, like, you know, whatever. Hunter always plays this, like, Hunter lives this, like, double life, not a double life, but, like, Hunter is caught between, like, what his stated morals tell him to do and what his, like, emotional side actually does. So, like, he's saying all this stuff like, oh, yeah, I forgive her. Like, you know, he's a Christian with good morals and whatever. He doesn't forgive her. Come on. Like, he's still fuming mad. And, like, that's a human condition, right? Like, you want to be better than you are. But,
right.
You know, the whole thing, like, I'm disappointed in myself. I should have seen it coming. I should have seen what a horrible trash person she was. So it's really on me. Like, okay, Hunter.
Yeah, maybe you should see it coming about you being a horrible trash person that someone will treat you like a horrible trash person.
We do get Ashley dropping a bomb. Actually, some tea spilled here. Caitlin Glancy says, do you think Ashley's accusation of what Hunter said about her hookup with Derek H is true? So can you set this up first?
Yeah, so I'm very rarely truly stunned by something anyone says on the challenge, but I had a pause watching this because I was so stunned that Ashley said that Hunter would not hook up with her again because she had hooked up with a black person, aka Derek H. Which also, when you have to emphasize someone's, like, last initial, it's such, like, an insult to that person that they can't just be Derek. You have to say Derek H. But that's whatever. But yeah, so that's what she said.
So do you think it was true per Caitlin's question here?
I mean, I certainly hope not. I feel like I hope not. I'll just tend to like go with my hope.
I'm a believer usually where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, you know, maybe he said, I wouldn't hook up with you again because you hooked up with Derek, because Derek's like gross or whatever he thinks about Derek, like independent of his race. Just like maybe he doesn't like Derek. Right. Maybe he said what she's saying. I also think like Ashley's crazy and like believes that he said this and maybe he didn't. Like, there are just too many possibilities to really break it down. Do I think it's possible Hunter said it? Yes. Do I think it's possible Ashley misheard him? Yes. Do I think it's possible Ashley's completely making this up? Yes. Like, I just have no idea. It completely runs the gamut. I loved Hunter's defense of himself, though, that his two best friends on the show are black and he's had sex with them.
The defense of I have a black friend, I have a gay friend. I mean, that's not like really bolstering your cause.
I think you're missing the bottom here.
He had like either sex in the room or had sex with someone who had sex with that person. I don't think, maybe I misheard.
No. I just think it's funny that he did say he had sex with them, but I thought he meant like a threesome or at least like in the room of a foursome, whatever. I at first was writing as I was reacting to this, like, oh yeah, I have black friends. But I do kind of think Hunter's just getting called racist and he's sort of like my main alliance. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't think that was like as, oh, I have black friends, I have gay friends, as it would be otherwise. Like, I think it was relevant to the situation. It was like, guys, can you like what?
Well, how much merit do you give his apology on Twitter?
Zero, because it wasn't sent to me.
There you go. It wasn't sent to our social media correspondent.
But he believes it. Like, that's the thing, is like, Hunter fully believes everything he's saying, and it's crazy. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Bananas? They cut to Bananas, and now he's in the unfortunate position of basically wanting to say that Ashley's terrible, but not being able to because he's done the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he could say she's terrible for other reasons, but yeah, for this one, you can't really, at least he can't definitely say that she's terrible. I mean, I guess he could spin zone it that like he was did to Sarah what Sarah did to him, but Ashley was just doing it out of nowhere. But I mean, I'm glad he didn't go that route and kind of just like stood by her.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he did hedge, right? Because he's sort of like, you assess the value of the friendship. So if she's saying that she's not losing out on a $500,000 friendship, okay. Like, she's clearly not losing out on a $500,000 friendship. But it was, I think, the best that could be expected from Bananas.
Yeah, I agree.
What was I going to say? Shoot. All right. Anyway, I guess. Bananas out of nowhere. I thought I'm like, when you said Ashley had a good thing with the dollar, I didn't love the dollar. I thought that was like a little extra, but I could see why people like it. Bananas out of nowhere comes for her wig and says that, in what universe is that hair we from, when he like has no business even speaking. And she slams him with probably the same night you made out with me in that yep. Weave.
Yeah. Well, as we know, that's Bananas' knee jerk reaction. Go after someone's looks.
And we knew that they hooked up, right? That wasn't a bomb. I feel like I'd heard that.
Yeah, I think it came. It came up somewhere along the way. I do remember knowing that going into the reunion.
One thing I like about Ashley, as opposed to the other Lavender ladies, and I think this is what makes her maybe like able to have a relationship with Bananas. Well, they'll pick at each other, but like ultimately, I don't think Bananas hates Ashley to the same level as Amanda. Maybe I'm totally off base here. Is like. Mm-hmm. Even when they start talking about Zach, like, Amanda's like able to sort of be like, I have a crush on Bananas, or like, Zach, I don't hate Zach all the time. And then sometimes he's the absolute worst. Like, her positions are not like so set in stone or so extreme that it becomes like this grudge match you can't like move on from at all. I think that like earns her more favor, that she's then better able to actually slam them.
Yeah. I also think she's able to let more things go with certain people. Where if she's not like around them a lot and then kind of like dips in and out of like the social scene, maybe of some of these people, then it's not as big a deal to her.
Yeah. It keeps it a little bit, I think, more fun. Like, I don't think she's crossed the line into like, this feels weird and dark at this point. Maybe with her and Hunter, that seems justified, but.
Right. At least she hasn't threatened to buy people's families, although I guess now she can, so.
She can definitely buy a house, though, without a cosigner. I liked that line, too. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that was good.
Let's talk about the Ashley and Devon fight. This, I believe I saw this tweet, but I did not expect it to come up at the reunion.
Yeah, this is another one where it's like, I don't know how much relevance this has. I'm not sure why this needs to be even, like, brought up, especially, like, in, like, the A block of the show, like, right after the big thing of Ashley taking the money from Hunter. It's like, all right, now let's go to the other big story of Devon and Angela with this fight. It's like, I don't know what this had anything to do with.
See, and I think that that's interesting. That's sort of, I think, what was wrong with the whole first episode of the reunion is that it didn't necessarily feel like it was segmented out, like, to have the right, you know, rise and fall or, like, A block, like you're talking about. I thought the whole first hour, besides the Hunter-Ashley moment, was a total throwaway.
Yeah. There was no flow. I kind of, even if they just did it, like, specifically in order of the season, like, I think that's just an easier way to do it. Like, I don't know what type of, as you said, like, the flow was just all over the place, no real. I don't, maybe this isn't what how they filmed it and they just chose to splice it up like this, but I don't know why. It's not like it flowed better TV-wise.
I think it was Tom Palmer who tweeted to us that, like, Sylvia and Natalie were both, like, sharing a fur coat. So there are some scenes where, like, Natalie's wearing it and some where Sylvia's wearing it. So if you, like, watch, you can, like, see it jump back and forth. But I,
oh my God,
I couldn't. But, like, if you're interested in that, I think that's a giveaway. Stuff. I did notice it at times because I read the tweet before I watched, but
right.
I can't track that.
That's a good find.
But yeah, so this tweet from Ashley saying that Devon should put her hands down and pick up her baby. What's interesting is, like, a lot of this reunion is sort of like we apologized off screen, but are still fighting about it today. I guess Devon's saying because, you know, after we squashed it, you're still talking about it. I did love when she said the fans work harder than the CIA. That's absolutely true. She said she posted on Twitter. Most interesting, I went to go to her Twitter. She's private, and I requested to follow her probably 2 weeks ago. I am still pending.
Ooh, that's rough.
Are you following her? Could you put a follow request through and see if that returns more quickly?
I will try. I will report back.
I'm just curious. Did I upset Day? I'm sure I did. I think I was pretty low on her coming into the season, but I'm high on her now, so I feel like I should at least get the follow.
Yeah.
Not get the follow. Give. I'm trying to give the follow. I'd like to follow you even after the season, which is crazy because I usually unfollow everyone until the next season.
Right. Well, that's probably right on the corner, so don't hit that unfollow button too soon.
All right, let's talk about this thirsty thought in a group chat situation. Again, I think it was way too much to have to set up for the reunion, but
yes.
Angela, Polly, Natalie, and Jose were in a group chat, and Kara had the privilege, a humble brag of the season. I watched the episode early, actually. I probably didn't write her blog. And she simply gave an honest assessment in a private chat of how each of them came off, totally unbiased, and just happened to say that Angela and Faith looked like extremely thirsty thoughts during the episode. Yeah.
I thought CT hit the nail on the head. Like, people just have to stop, like, feeling bad about hooking up with people when they're not in a relationship. Just do your own thing and don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I mean, Kara, like, the fact that Kara's like, this was an invasion of my privacy. Like, what are you talking about? Like, nothing is you're in a group chat with thoughts. Like, everyone's thirsty, not thoughts, thirsty people. Like, everybody's gonna, like, you think she's not gonna show that to Faith and that's not gonna get exposed? Like, Kara, you've been in this game way too freaking long. And I just, that was so annoying. And then this became unwatchable to me. This, all I wrote was this unwatchable, whatever fight happened after that.
Yep, this was one of the, they're yelling, I have no idea what they're saying, and can we just move on? Because this has absolutely no relevancy.
Yeah, then we get to the romance segment of the show, which I think should have been more fun, but it was not fun at all.
No, the Nelson and Kaylee's relationship, they I don't understand. Like, they are so hot and cold. It's like makes no sense because they're so anytime we see them on screen, like on a season, they're like so lovey dovey. And then at the second they each go their separate ways, they absolutely despise each other.
I mean, this, I feel like I did get the full story. This is the one where I'm like, oh, I know exactly what happened.
Oh, totally. It's just very bizarre for the two of them. Because, like, and then if they're on another season, they're just going to be like, oh, no, I actually really do love you. And then they'll be together for the season. And they cut to the reunion, and Nelson will do something stupid, and they'll be fighting again. Just, it's very bizarre between the two of them.
I don't know. Sending D pics while you're in her bed in London, and not even denying it, is like, well, we weren't officially together. Right. All I can think of when they come on the screen, though, because we have to talk about how they screenshot, like, video chatted in the Londoners. I just kept thinking, you sound like you're from London. That's what I would have just started shouting. Like, why didn't Marie scream that out?
Oh boy. I like that we finally reached the Ally impression segment of the podcast.
That's an impression of Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I know, I'm saying. I love that. You're I just want to be clear.
That wasn't just like my Londoner, although that's probably the only thing I would do. I don't know. I should probably mention that Banana said something absolutely disgusting about women on the show, but like I could be here all day. I love the idea, though, that like the women of the challenge are, quote, run through. But Bananas is like a sterile angel when he's probably the nastiest person on the show. But yeah, whatever makes him feel better.
That was a rough comment. That was rough.
He's horrible. Yeah. And he gets away with it. And they edit it because it's funny. Like they put it in because like they think it's funny, but he's just disgusting. Yep. But yeah, are you surprised they didn't fly the London people in? I mean, Joss made the final, and he wasn't, not only was he not there, but he didn't even Skype in.
Yeah, I mean, they did this last season, right? Well, they were on Skype for the reunion, so yeah, they don't, they can keep up in the prize money, but they can't pay for the round trip flight from London. I don't know.
I guess I just like didn't, not that I didn't care about it as much, but I felt like maybe they weren't as big parts of the story. They were, the Kaylee that she quit, but like, I don't know. I was stunned that Joss wasn't there. It's one thing for Kyle. Like, Kyle and Joss were, like, not Joss. Joss was in the final. But Kyle was, like, such a huge part. To have him, like, Skype in like, this, like, janky situation was so bad, I thought.
I even wish more that Sylvia and Joss won, because it would have been absolutely hysterical if he won the season and they didn't even bring him in for the reunion. That would have been all time.
Are they surprised that Brittany... Are you surprised that Brittany wasn't flown in? That she had to Skype in?
No, I mean, I think it was, I don't know what she would have really added besides that one segment because of how little she was like in the house for. So, although I guess I wouldn't really stop Brittany from chiming in anyway, but, I almost thought her segment played better. The fact that she was like on Skype clearly obliterated. So I think that kind of made it a little better.
And CT was only there to plug his wedding, right? Otherwise he wouldn't be there.
Yeah. And like, you always like going to CT for words of wisdom whenever he can chime in. So
I would never complain about
CT being there. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. But I just don't think he would have been there. Otherwise, we got no real information about Angela and Nelson except that they are talking to each other. I imagine that was restricted because of the upcoming X on the Beach.
Yeah, so to be determined for a future season. We'll hear about him sending other dick pics to other girls when they are no longer a thing.
Do we care about Kara and Kyle?
No, I'm so over them. The Kyle Pauly stuff about each of them trying to act like tougher than the other one. I mean, that was just... That was tough to watch.
I mean, every time we talk about people like, oh, maybe they're like trying to get a fight in to be future vendettas or future rivals. Like to me, Pauly and then Devin later was also doing some of this. Like, you know, when editor someone's like, I want to see you in the sand. First of all, everyone wants to fight. I've never seen so many adults talk about fighting each other throughout. Right. And everybody was doing it. Absolutely everyone. It was like pretty upsetting. But Pauly had nothing to say except, I want to see Kyle on another season. I want to see Kyle on another season. Like, Pauly, I don't think your stake at the game is in jeopardy. Like, I think you're going to be back. So you don't need to just make your whole life about coming for Kyle. Like, one swift kick to the old knee and you'd be right down. Like, nothing is less threatening than saying, like, I could, like, sweep my leg and knock you down because you're so tall and I'm so little.
Maybe this was Pauly's pitch to Dolph to follow The Miz and go to WWE.
The Piz.
Yeah. That's a stupid joke, but I love it.
We find out that Brad's not mad at Kyle. Who cares?
Oh, and thank goodness. Kara... I couldn't sleep at night.
And Kara and Kyle made out. Who cares?
Yeah.
And Pauly's a man, so he didn't get mad about it. You know how men don't get mad.
No real man cries. No real man gets mad. They get even.
Let's talk about something I can actually ask you a substantive question about.
Go for it.
So that we get to the Lavender Ladies segment, and the Lavender Ladies' perception is that their alliance stayed strong because they're real friends. It's not just for the show. Banana says they stayed strong because they never had to actually make like a difficult decision. Mm-hmm. Where do you fall? I mean, that could be a spectrum, but what's your response to that?
Yeah, I think this is a very fancy Fenderton answer, but I think it's clearly both of it, right? I think they alliances stick together because they are friends. And the second we did see them have to make a decision, we saw them splinter with Marie branching off. And I think if they had to make another a decision or two, I think we would have seen more fights. So I think they are both completely right.
I do think, though, that it's not the case that they didn't have to make a difficult decision. Like, I do think that, like, I think Shane does have, is a little bit right when he says, like, it was a decision to, like, stay together. Like, they could have turned otherwise. Like, that is a choice to make. It is interesting that Marie kind of wasn't in the Lavender Ladies. I didn't know if that was really a decision on the Lavender Ladies' part or that was because of Kara. It seems like Marie was starting to be a Kara sympathizer earlier on than maybe we saw in the episodes. Mm-hmm. But I think the Amanda-Zach thing was a decision. It was the wrong decision, but I don't think that happens if... Well, I guess I don't know. Does that happen if the Lavender Ladies aren't such a tight group of friends? Or does that only happen because Amanda and Zach are such bitter enemies?
Yeah, I think if Amanda doesn't have a close bond with people she's protecting, then there's no way she sacrifices herself. So I think clearly that the only reason that even further shows about how close of friends they are, because you don't do it for alliance you toss together during a season. You do it for friends that you have built over a couple seasons for, and now you're all together in a season together, like an alliance together.
Yeah, when I started that sentence, that was going to be my point, which is like, I don't think Bananas like considers that as much as a exhibit of them staying together as friends as it was. But as I started saying it, I was like, I don't know, like maybe just a one-off alliance. Amanda and Zach might have hated each other and been stubborn enough to do that anyway. So
I mean, we see time and time again real friends sticking together like this. That's what made Johnny, Evan, and Kenny so strong, is because they were not only just all like strong players, but they all were good friends, and it makes it easy to stick together.
Any thoughts on the rift between Jose and Shane?
I very much enjoyed Shane like mansplaining to Devon what bitch means. That was what's this all time.
Yeah, that was weird. Like that's, I think now we're getting to the weird, like everything after this is weird to me.
Yeah. There was a great moment when I think even the channel like tweeted it out, like the highlighting, but when Shane had like a quote being, I think it was when he was arguing either with Jose or Bananas, I don't know, he's like, oh well, I clearly like, I respect women. And then there was a cut to Devon of like, what the fuck did he just say?
Yeah.
That was great.
I think Devon like was so close so many times this reunion to like being like a full yes queen. And then she like, you know, she really got off track. First thing before we get to Devon with Jose and Shane, I just thought it was all time that like they spoke backstage and like the resolution is like, we're going to have a rocky friendship. I loved that. Like that is the resolution in my life with everyone. Like, yeah. I respect you, but it's going to be rocky road.
What did you make just bringing that up? What did you make of kind of like the sort of fourth wall-ish breaking with them showing like them going backstage and all those like conversations? Did you like them doing that? Or would you rather it kind of all just be like a clean slate on like the reunion stage?
I liked them going backstage because I just thought like, you know, later with the Devon Bananas thing, like that Shane says it's like the OG way to solve things off camera. And I do remember that. And I like get that it can seem more genuine if the apology is just for the camera to do it on stage. But I do think there is something to doing something off stage and then also on stage. And I think the reason that Bananas didn't want to give an apology on stage is because that's not his like show persona. And so I think that there is something that makes something more genuine by being willing to like break your little show persona and be like, no, I am sorry. So I like that we just kind of got everything we could in on stage, off stage. Like there is no boundary anymore. You have to air it to the full audience.
Yeah. I always enjoy when they're talking about breaking the fourth wall, where they're talking about doing things for the show or for like just themselves. Like I always, those are the conversations that get me much more intrigued than finding out who's trash talking who and on Instagram Live.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back to the bitch in it. Yeah, I did like Devon had me when she was saying, like, if I called you a bitch, I meant it negatively. Like, I think CT actually has, like, one of the moments of the night when he's saying, like, you use a, like, the double standard is that a woman's a bitch if she's strong and a man's a bitch if he's weak. So, like, Devon, be quiet, and Jaden, be quiet. Like, you're not using it equally. You're using it to, like, bring women down as opposed to, like, you know. Right. When a man gets called a bitch, it's because he's acting like a woman, quote-unquote. And a woman gets called a bitch when she's, quote-unquote, acting like a man. I thought that was really interesting, and Devon had me with that. And then she's like, you're a man and you should never be mean to a woman. And then I was like, oh, you lost me on that.
Yeah. She doesn't know how to land a plane. So we all have that problem sometimes.
Yeah. I just, like, I thought if her whole thing is sort of like, I'm a strong woman, I don't need to be a bitch, then you shouldn't, your argument shouldn't be, because of our genders, you can't say things to me.
I thought her, like, multi-time being on reality shows and dealing with live cameras, really, I thought, like, her speaking mannerisms were, like, very, TV character-esque for, like, a reunion. I thought that, like, kind of played up. And some other people were kind of, like, on, like, one of these shows for, like, one of the first times.
Say that again?
I just thought she sounded like a TV character. Like, she knew what to, like, say for her, like her brand and herself. And I thought she, like, played into that.
See, I think this is Devon.
You think she's this, like, boisterous and this, like, in your face all the time?
No, I think she is if she's mad. Like, I don't think she just, like, walks around the street like this, but, like, I think, like, I imagine if, like, someone in Devon's real life, like, called her a bitch or, like, in the, heat of something, like, she would get this mad. Like, I think this is real. I think Devon is, like, real. I actually thought this moment was bad for her, quote, brand when her argument was, like, you're a whole man and I'm a woman. You shouldn't be saying that to me. Yeah. Like, I thought that was very, like, anti what Devon sort of, like, stands for in terms of, like, I'm a strong woman, like, no one should be called a bitch, like, all of that.
Yeah. In another happier topic, what about the Kaylee still refusing to apologize to Natalie?
Yeah, I mean, literally all I wrote about this was that Kaylee's terrible and her hat is Natalie's best revenge.
Yeah. Like, she's becoming just the worst, Kaylee, that is.
Kaylee's hat was, like, straight out of a Hillary Duff movie, like, circa 2005. Like, yep. I you're gonna be on television, you don't even have to fly anywhere, like, why are you wearing that? Anyway, Kaylee's got, Natalie got the last laugh on that.
Yeah, Natalie comes across well. She knows how to stay calm in certain moments where this lends herself to her.
I love the when she broke out into Spanish so she could say things uncensored.
Definitely.
I don't know the literal translation, but I get the gist, Natalie.
Those are some of the moments where I wish I could speak a second language, because you do sound like so awesome when you just, like, you're having a conversation in English and you just mumble to yourself in a different language. You sound so intimidating. It's great.
I, like, thought about, like, stopping it, writing it down, translating it, but I knew what she said. I didn't need the translation. That's universal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pastagate. This was my biggest complaint with Fizz, is grabbing pasta and throwing it out the window is not a prank. He called this a pasta prank. Get it together, sir.
Anything that happens on a reality show is a prank. They're all pranks. Prank wars. No. Prank everything.
Throwing away pasta is not a prank. It's a crime.
Oh, man.
And this did become interesting, though, because, like, apparently Tony and Devon have such a strong, deep, meaningful friendship. And what was, like, infuriating to me about this moment is, like, Bananas is on his soapbox about the slip. The slip is really besides the point, because I think, like, what Devon and Corey were, like, too numb to, they're too numb nuts to, like, articulate this, is, like, whatever happened before Devon saw the footage, who gives a crap? Devon saw the footage and he owned it and said, you know what? He didn't slip. So why are you relitigating that? It's just because you have nothing else to say, Bananas. And I just wish Devon had been, like, more clear, and he just, like, couldn't get it together. And it was extremely frustrating.
I guess we discussed the whole, like, kind of topic. I thought it was wild for me, because, like, I would be agreeing and then disagreeing with each of them, in the same sentence, with things that they were saying. Like, they were both making, like, points, and then they would keep talking, and then they would both keep sounding worse. Like, I came away, like, being against both of them, honestly.
I mean, when would Tony would never sacrifice his game for Devin, certainly not partner with Bananas. I don't understand why there's some like, oh, Bananas, like, you're such a good friend of Tony's, you should have like taken your lumps. Tony and Bananas would never do that for Devin.
No, yeah, no, no one should have to at any point sacrifice their game for anyone.
Yeah, no, here's now where we get to the part that I like don't even want to discuss.
Yeah, so they have Bananas and Devin kind of confront each other about what Bananas said, and they're kind of like the reactions that and Bananas, for the most part, I mean, pretty much stands by what he said, but he said they did have one of those off-camera full-on apologies, so I guess that's something. I honestly didn't think that would happen after what he did the confessional apology.
So a lot of this is confusing, and it's part of why I like went to the Twitter thread, because nobody was, not Twitter, the Facebook thread, because no one was really talking about it. And I wanted to sort of like, you know, last time this happened, I like was very surprised when taking the temperature of like the fan base that nobody seemed sympathetic to what Banana said for the most part. I mean, sympathetic towards Devin, and largely unchanged from what the little I got a chance to read. So I feel like I have to separate it. Part of it is like people feel like Devin is like playing this up for the camera now. Like Devin is like re-dredging this up. I think that's a fine take to have. It was not my impression of what I saw. But if people want to feel, if people do feel that Bananas and him squashed it and then he re-brought it up to be relevant, I think that Devin's relevancy absolutely does depend on his willing. Like, he has put himself in a position where his role, smartly, is the thorn, the permanent thorn in Banana's side. And that's why Devin will continue to come back, because Devin is the relentless thorn in Banana's side, and every, you know, anti-hero needs the thorn, whatever, I don't know. So that's one perspective. My perspective, and I believe I'm reading a lot of my own experiences into this, I cried while watching this, and I like had to take like a 30-minute walk, and I still didn't feel okay after watching this. Devin is not okay, and you can see it in his face. I felt like this is a face we have not seen from Devin in the past, when Devin's like yucking it up with Bananas before. People can disagree. Mm-hmm. What bothered me, there are many things that bothered me about this, but one of the things that bothered me is, like, I don't think that Bananas here is, like you're saying, standing by what he said. Yes, he's standing by what he said, but he's also like, oh, I misspoke. What I meant to say is, like, for you, you weren't in a place to be here, and so you should have been home for your mental sake. And that's not what he said on the show. Like, decidedly not what he said. What he said was, whether or not you felt like he was justifying in saying it, he said, you should not be here, you should be home with your family, which is always, like, just like Devon should pick up her kid and be home. That's not for Devon's mental state, right, that Ashley said that. That's because you're making a judgment on what she's doing as a mother, and that's, Johnny was making a judgment as what, for what Devin was doing as somebody who lost their father. So I thought to like try to get around this mind gymnastics of like, I didn't say it perfectly, like, you're not, that's not what you said, and that pissed me off. Point one. Many other things pissed me off, but that was one of it.
Yeah, I thought where Bananas really lost me was when, yeah, like, he was talking about like how someone should grieve. Once you like start having these conversations, like, you're not in the right side of the argument. Like, no, like, everyone grieves differently, so for someone to say how someone should do that is like completely idiotic. You're just, once you start going down that road, you lost. But then for me, where Devin lost me was where I really do think that, like, maybe when this is like brought up, and I, like, obviously it's brought up because it's a reunion, it's not like one of these people just like randomly bring this up like at a bar, like they have to talk about it. So I could see a scenario where they had the conversation offline, Bananas apologized and he did accept it, and now when they're having to rehash it, it kind of like brings all those emotions back. But I did get the sense that like he was kind of amping it up a little bit. And I don't know if that was for the camera or if he was kind of reliving this all over again. He was getting angry all over again. But I did get a sense that it wasn't like totally pure.
Yeah. And like I said, I can only, like, my reaction was different than that, but I completely see why people are think why you say that, because it's, that's Devin's role on the show. And somebody also put in the Facebook group that, like, it's disgusting that Devin's using this as his story. And I take issue that, one, when my dad was sick and he was not like this, he was like, you use this however you want. Like, I'm freaking dying. Like, that, and that's the truth. Like, Devin went through a hardship. If Devin needs, like, you know, I have no problem with somebody using, like, their own problems for how they want to use it. But I don't even think that's what he's doing. And that's not what you're saying. But, like, you could be using this fight with bananas. I think Devin absolutely has business returning to the show and discussing about his father. Like, that's what you want to do. You want to pay tribute, like, whatever. Like, he's allowed to talk about his life. It's reality television. When somebody goes through a breakup, we don't say they're using their breakup for story. When Adam Klein was on Survivor, I mean, people kind of said this, but he's not using his situation. Like, it is his situation and he's living it. So that was another thing I took issue with. I see what you're saying, though, that, like, potentially this was resolved. Although, if Bananas apologized offline to Devin the way that he apologized when we saw it on camera, that is not an apology, and I understand why it was not squashed.
What's funny about his, like, his quote-unquote apology was he kind of, like, at first he thought he did give an apology, like, when they were doing, like, the backstage. Like, he said, like, I'm sorry, I went over the line, and I'm sorry. And then Devin, like, didn't accept it, and then he made, like, a worse apology when he was like, I'm sorry if you took offense, which is, like, the most obvious, like, non-apology. But he did, like, apologize on camera at first, and then Devin still wouldn't accept it, and that's what led me to believe, like, why would it, like, if this is really causing you, like, this pain, like, just drop it. Like, if it's, like, why wouldn't you try to just, like, move on from it? And that's why I was like, why can't Devin just let this, like, just, like, accept his apology if you're really causing this much pain? And then that's, like, for Devin, like, that's where, like, he kind of lost me.
And here's another perspective, too, and that's totally fair and makes a lot of sense. I didn't realize, like, Ashley says that he lost his father 10 weeks ago. Is that, could that be true with the math that, like, as of the taping of the reunion, it was 10 weeks since his father died?
Yeah, I probably, I guess so.
So, roughly. Like, part of my, like, and why I got so, like, and nobody needs to hear about my life, but I went through a big, like, social issue also with people in my life when my father got sick and ultimately passed away. And it, like, some of my 20-year friendships just, like, dissolved on the spot. And what I will say is that when somebody is going through, like, ideally, somebody handles loss and is a champ and, like, is still 100% themselves and is, like, you know, can accept an apology clearly and, like, be completely rational. But that was not me. And it doesn't seem like it's Devin unless it's just for the camera. And, like, there is a world where Devin is just unable to physically even hear Bananas, like, that, and it would be okay. Like, you know, like, that's just life. Like, you can't, 10 weeks after a major loss in your life, it is really difficult to potentially, for some, you know, weaker people like myself, to be a rational person. Like, and so in terms of, like, where a rational person would really act differently, Devin is in the throes of a really devastating loss. And Bananas said some really horrible things to him then on the show and 5 minutes before that conversation at the reunion. And I think Tony was kind of getting at this, where it's sort of like, no matter what you're saying your rationale was or what you're sorry for and how you're saying it, like, you bring this up and I'm seeing red and I would probably act like this too. And I think that's just sort of like the disconnect between Bananas and Devin and some of the audience who's anti-Devin in this, is like, you can't always act purely rational when somebody is like, or siphon out, like, what about what he's saying is maybe fair and what about what he's saying is devastating to me when you're 10 weeks out from your dad dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think Tony really summed it up by saying, like, you can't put yourself in that person's shoes without being in that person's shoes, and everyone reacts differently to this type of situation. So, and you can't, that's why when he was going down the route about, like, how to grieve, like, that's like, that, you just don't go down that route. There's no winning that. This is not.
And, like, I love, and this happens all the time when people, like, suffer loss and they're, like, out to dinner the next day or they're dating soon again if their husband or wife dies. Like, it is, like, a human instinct to be like, oh, that's soon. Oh, that seems a little soon. And it's, like, Bananas to say, like, I would be so far from the challenge. Oh, really, Bananas? You would quit your job if your father passed away and, like, this is what made you happy and distracted you and what made your father proud of you, like, you'd quit your job. I love to see that. Like, maybe you would, but, like, maybe you wouldn't, and you should shut the hell up. And he's like, doesn't get that. And then when he says he'd be embarrassed to see how you're acting, have you met this man? Like, how dare you say how his dead father would feel? And the fact that people are like, oh, he's justified. He is not justified. Instead, you can hate on Devin for like wanting the camera time, if that's what you think he was doing. But if somebody said that to me, I would put my hands on them. Like, not really, I'm being recorded. But, like, I don't know how Devin restrained himself in that moment when he said, I know how your father would feel about your actions. What are you talking about, Bananas? And I don't blame everybody for walking out, because how did everybody just let him get away with it? And I think that's also why Devin was legitimately upset, and people don't buy Devin's real emotions. But if Tony and Devin are friends, Tony did say something in favor of him, but I don't know. That was really gently in favor of Devin. And for somebody to have, like, lost their father and not be able to, like, be like, Bananas, you need to stop saying this now. That would upset me, too, as a friend. You must know how Devin's feeling if you're friends with him.
Yeah, I think there's only so much. I think Tony did. I don't know what else he can do. I mean, he's going to, like, punch Bananas in the face. He said his piece. I think there's only so much to put on Tony there. And yeah, I think for Devin and...
Really? I think Tony should have shut him up immediately when he said your father would be embarrassed of how you were acting, and that's what I meant. Like, how does Tony not say, like, come on? Like, Amanda's shouting out, Ashley's saying something. Tony just lets that go? Really? Like, I think that's a bad... Talk about a bad friend. I don't know. I think that's, like, that's pretty upsetting.
I mean, you didn't hear, like, Corey chiming in that. I mean, he walked off with him, but, like, I don't know. I'd like to say, like, what someone should do there. I wouldn't put too much stock into that for me.
I don't blame... It's like Corey said, one of the things that upsets Devin the most is that Tony is his good friend and didn't say anything. And granted, they had both walked off before they heard what Tony said. I'm just saying, I think that I would feel that way too. I think he's justified in being upset about it.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair for Devin. I don't know. It's tough. This whole topic is just so, like, it's so rough. Like, there's no, like, good way to, like... Like, for me, there's no... I thought they both kind of came off bad. I hate that Devin has to even, like, this be a thing for him, and this is where it came across as, like a dark reunion.
Yeah, and I think, like, to say, like, oh, they're both at fault, like, sure, like, Devin's an asshole, and people don't like him, but I just, like, this is what my whole thing has been this whole season. Like, the things that Bananas are saying could really hurt you forever. Like, that is something, whether or not, you know, he's like, I don't respect Bananas, so I don't really care. No, that's not true. I guarantee Devin has questioned, like, maybe I shouldn't go on the show. Am I doing the right thing? Am I mourning the right way? Like, these are all questions you ask yourself. And, like, for somebody to say that and then say it again and say your father would feel this way about you, like, that's beyond the line. Like, yeah, and Molly was like, Devin looked pathetic. And, like, yeah, Devin looked pathetic. Devin is pathetic right now. He's in the most vulnerable position he's probably ever been in his life. Like, I don't think we can be looking... I am not looking at them as equal... as people with equal capacities. I guess as... Like, Devin is not in a place where he has the capacity to take this from Bananas. And Bananas, as a human being, should see that and take it on the chin a little bit. That's maybe more what I mean. He should be a little bit more charitable to the situation. And even if he wants to still fight him. You could still come for him. But to be... picking him at the worst thing you could possibly be saying to him at the worst possible time is beyond the bounds of where I'm able to say they both did bad things.
All right. I think that basically covers it.
I did actually, though, like that Banana said, like, you wanted me to do something stupid. Devin did in that moment, and he snapped. Like, that's accurate. Like, that is an accurate description of what happened. And yep. I think that he could have just undone all of this by being like, you were pushing me and I didn't hit you, but I verbally hit you. And I shouldn't have done, just like I shouldn't have hit you, I shouldn't have said what I said.
What did you make of that?
That'd be easy.
did you appreciate the editing of, like, after 45 minutes and, like, backstage after, like, the secret? Like, what did you make of, like, kind of the editing sequence of all that?
Yeah, I think it's trying to communicate to the audience, like, this is... You know, I guess the audience, you know, Devin's made his own bed in some of the minds of the audience, but, like, it took Devin 45 minutes to collect himself after what was said. Like, I think it does try to show the gravity of what's going on, like, whether or not you, like, I don't know. I just don't believe that Devin was faking it. So, like, so I didn't really need that. But maybe that has an impression on somebody. Like, if he was really just looking for camera time, why would he take 45 minutes off stage?
Right. Right. And it's not even like I don't think he's, like, doing this for camera time. It's more so just I just didn't understand why, if he got an apology offline and then I thought he got one backstage, like, he just then kept asking for more apology. And, like, at a certain point, like, what more do you want him to do? He can't literally, like, just take everything back. So at a certain point, you just have to either accept it or not.
And I think that's part of it. Like, not that anybody cares again about my life, but that happened to me. Like, it was, what happened to me was so bad that when people were like, well, I'm sorry, it wasn't enough. And the truth is that Devin, I don't think, can see this now as, like, he can't undo what happened. He can't take the pain away. And I also think there's probably a lot of misdirected anger. Like, when you go through grief, there's misdirected anger. Like, there's nothing more bananas can do. And that gets frustrating because that doesn't make it any better. And I think, like, that goes back to the, like, Devin's in deep grief and, like, can't rationalize that at this point, that there's nothing else that can be done.
Well, what I did appreciate is they cut from, like, this very dark segment to my favorite segment of the 2 hours, and that was the Brad and Brittany stuff.
And why aren't Brittany and Chuck there? I want Brittany and Chuck there.
Were you surprised that if you got Brittany, were you surprised that Chuck didn't pop up on another screen, like, next to her?
I mean, I'm pissed that what we didn't get, and maybe the reason we didn't get Chuck there or on the screen, is because Chuck is, like, seems to have very simple emotions about it. Like, I'm not in love with her. I'm doing my own thing. We broke up. And Brittany is more like, it's complicated. I will always love Chuck. I needed closure. And, like, if they had both of them, you'd kind of just be like, wow, Brittany's totally one-sided and Chuck's not into her. And so they, like to keep the mystery going.
I love Brad's rationale for, like, everything. It was like, we weren't in an I love you program. Like, that's a hell of a way to break up with someone. We weren't in that program yet.
Yeah, Brad got so unlucky because it kind of would have been, you know, the way Brad told the story is very, like, mature and, like, look, it was a kind of a mutual separation. Like, we came to a mutual understanding, you know, it's distance. The footage made me uncomfortable. And then here comes Brittany, hammered, as you mentioned. Ashley Bedazzlewood says, how do we feel about the Brad and Brittany saga now? I was shocked to hear what Britt had said because it's very opposite of what she said on podcast immediately following the breakup.
So what did she specific, like, how different was this from other outlets that she described it?
Well, but my assumption, and Brittany did an AfterBuzz interview that I didn't get to listen to before the podcast. I don't usually listen to challenge podcasts, but so if anybody wants to hear from the source, you can definitely check that out. My understanding from Brittany's video chat is the incident was not like when they broke up right after, you know, during the season, right after they got back, which seemed sort of mellow. It seemed like a couple weeks ago they were at an event in Illinois and they hooked up, and then he was like, you know what, actually, we have to cut off. Like, that they had maybe, like, been trying to rekindle things. So I think that is what's changed, is that the time frame is different. Like, this has happened since Brad's been back from the show.
Yeah, that I think that's accurate.
That they had, like, already broken up, and then that's why they weren't on the consistent I love you program, and Brad broke up after, like, using her basically for the weekend.
But this was much more lighthearted, and I appreciated it because this was a classic challenge relationship fight, and I think we all needed it.
Yeah, I mean, Brittany, God bless her. Like, ooh, right. Like, that was crazy. And, like, Brad, like, I think, like, that's the problem, right? Brad looked calm and cool and collective, as Rodney would say, and Brittany just looked like a crazy person, and then she hashes that out with Devon, mm-hmm. But it's because she's the one hurt. Like, Brad clearly didn't want to be with her. Brad clearly did the wrong thing by sleeping with her all weekend and then being like, ooh, on the way to the airport, I'm out. And so that's why he's able to be calm. And she's, like, emotionally, yeah, you know, off the deep end.
Even, like, her insults to him was like, we had, like, the best sex ever, and now I hate you, and now you're going to go on to someone else. But we have the best sex, so, like, watch out. But it was like, oh, yeah, okay.
And also, he's not the first man to vanish on me is an insult to her.
That's why Brittany's the best. Oh, she's so good.
Were you surprised that she seemed the most upset with Devon?
A little bit, because I didn't think they still, I didn't know where their like beef came from. And then I like that Devon had to like prep her going in. She's like, my commentary was like pretty rough on you, so just be prepared. And the pretty was like, okay. And then it was like a lot worse than she ever thought it would be.
Yeah, we have some tweets about that later. Let's talk about Polly and Kara. I like how Fizz had to go to an audience question. I believe the only audience question of the night.
I think there was two. I feel like there was one in the first hour and one in the second hour.
Okay, but the audience question of like, so what happened with your girlfriend, Polly?
Yeah. Did you know about Kyle's tattoo?
That was GD crazy.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And Carl's like, oh, that's what a coincidence. Or I think Polly said, like, what a coincidence. It's like, no, dude, that's not like a coincidence.
Do you think the tattoos are real? I mean, you could see Kara's in her on her dress or like through her dress. I like was inclined to believe they were real. Ashley did say something like, oh, it's not real. Like in a little, like you could hear her saying that. Do you think it's real?
I hope not, because I can't, like, you have to be a real psychopath to sign up for something like that. But I mean, maybe it's like a situation. I don't know if this technology even exists where you get like a tattoo and then you can like make it permanent or it could be removed. I don't know how that works. I don't know the tattoo world, but maybe that's a situation that could be happened.
No, I'm sorry. No. Like you tell the ink, stay forever or wash away now.
Yeah, basically, like it's like a semi-permanent ink and then you can get the permanent ink put on top of it or something. I don't know.
Yeah. The what was I don't know what was crazier, the fact that Kyle has a tattoo of his ex in the exact same spot, or that Kara's rationale is that like he's my biggest fan.
Yeah, that was so I guess we got full confirmation. Paulie's one of us. He's been a big fan.
Oh, he's not one of us. Also, I love the idea of like you're like, well, you'd have to be a real psycho to even sign up for the real tattoos. It's Polly and Cara Maria.
I guess so. I didn't think there'd be that level though. Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know. Then this was the next part that was just like insufferable between Cara. It was supposed to be like where Marie and Cara at now, but it really became like where is Amanda and Faith and Angela and Cara at now.
And so I feel like is Faith like bi? Because that whole topic was weird too.
Yeah, that's none of my business.
But where was like the in the show about being upset that like Kara rejected her? Like that another thing. I'm like, what are we talking about?
Oh, definitely wasn't on the show. It was just a tweet that Kara tweeted because nothing was on the show that was covered in this reunion. I did love Faith saying like your man didn't even turn me down. Like you turned me down. That was a great line by Faith.
Mm-hmm. That was solid.
Yeah. I mean, were you surprised that Kara and Marie are on good terms? It seems like
no, because I mean, we see this time and time and time and time and time and time again. Anytime there's this like rival type season, you for the most part you put someone together and then they're going to come out of it friends. That's like the one or two exceptions.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was a chance that they'd be the exception because I think like, you know, this can't have longevity. Like, if Marie and Kara are back in the same season, like, they're going to work together over the Lavender Ladies and Marie. I mean, they seemed pretty snippy at each other. But, you know, I'd be curious to see how that would go down. And it almost seems like, you know, we wanted Tony and Bananas on a season without being paired to see what would happen. I think once Marie and Kara are uncoupled, I don't think they hate each other, but, like, they're not going to work together.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think they could be friends outside of the show and then on the show. They're allegiances don't really mesh.
And then we overblew the brilliance of Cam's move.
I enjoyed Ashley doing like another self shot at herself, being like, I was so impressed because we sucked, so why'd you go after us?
I did like them giving the award out to Sylvia. It was cheesy, but I like that. Something light. Then Angela and Cam are gonna fight. Did you have any idea what this was about? I like could not understand what this was about.
No. We can move right along.
Okay, perfect. Zach and Amanda, a real bummer.
Yeah, this was a topic I felt that needed. I thought this was also one of like the big topics of the season. I thought they kind of like yada yadded a little bit and didn't dive into it enough. Like I don't know, this was kind of cut short. I feel like.
I wonder if it's because like what was going to happen? Like they're not going to resolve it. They're not going to talk intelligently about it. Like. what's the best outcome? Like, what could have been better that they didn't show?
I feel like they didn't get enough other people's kind of perspectives about, like, we only really got, like Bananas' obvious take of sticking up for Zach, but I feel like we didn't get a lot of the other people sticking up for Amanda.
I mean, I don't know. Zach's terrible. The Lavender ladies don't like him. Or I guess Ashley kind of was that voice where she was like, I don't always hate Zach, but sometimes he's the worst. Like, that's sort of just the general take. They're both. I think people just don't agree with either of them in terms of how they acted towards each other.
Did you think we'd hear from Laurel? Did you think we were going to hear from Laurel in this reunion? That was fun.
I thought Zach was absolutely insane to say that what Laurel said, none of what Laurel said was validated.
Yeah, because it was completely validated.
Like, I feel like we've been waiting, and, you know, it was what we didn't know we were waiting for Zach to have to answer for what happened with him and Laurel. And the fact that he just said, like, none of that's validated based on what Laurel may have done on another challenge, like, how does it answer that at all? That was so upsetting. Like, I kind of feel like it's more in Zach's personality to laugh and be like, yeah, I had an asthma attack or whatever. Like, to say something like, but the fact that he got so angry about it just shows that, like, he's probably heard that forever. He's probably gonna hear that forever.
It's one of the iconic images of the show, him falling apart on the mountain.
All right, ready? I'm gonna drop a huge bomb, Ryan.
Oh. Can't
huge.
Wait.
You have no idea the tea I'm about to spill.
I'm so nervous.
You know what? I think it would like probably ruin a couple lives, a couple relationships. You know, I'm just... No, I'm not going to say it.
So is Amanda becoming a good person? I think that was coming out. The Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes that day?
There was a lot of speculation about this.
As I'm sure there was.
There was, you can believe that. So Matt Lagori said, like, I bet it was something that happens on 33. So like MTV won't let her say it. That seems plausible. Mm-hmm. Another little tipster messaged me that it was something about something that happened on 30, and I don't need to, like, it's just not even worth talking about basically. So, like, it could have been about something about Tony and his new fiance. And so that, I think, would lead Amanda to not want to talk about it, knowing a proposal was probably coming.
Right.
So, like, basically a whole lot of nothing, much to do about nothing, which we expected.
Yep. A whole lot of smoke with no fire.
And CT's getting married, and so is Tony.
I thought Tony's proposal was actually very sweet. You could tell he was nervous. And I think that is good to see from him.
Yeah, I thought it was really sweet. Like, we've been through their whole relationship. I feel like Sylvia's crying. Like, me, you, and Sylvia have seen this all from the beginning.
Yeah, wait. If he included that in the proposal, that would have been all time. But
he's not proposing to you, Brian.
I know, unfortunately not.
So I thought that was really sweet.
He's a line of you made me a better man, a make me a complete man. That was good.
You complete me, that's kind of in the butt.
It was a good line. It was good.
Matt Lagori says, lol, there was no point in the Bananas cam with at least 10 HD professional television cameras capturing the moment. Johnny just worked his way into the shot of the most important moment of Tony's life. Typical Bananas, I guess.
I thought that too. Like, this whole thing is filmed. Why do we need your crappy camera to get like a slightly different angle zoomed in? But I don't know.
Also, like, when they cut to them proposal, Bananas is like squatting down with the camera, like, so bad.
That was so funny. That's the type of moment I could just laugh, because that's just funny.
We have some tweets to get to. First, a thank you to our 5-star viewers, ThorHammer7373 and Heath or Heathy or Heat He. don't know what that was. 2003.
How is it spelled?
All lowercase HEATHE.
Yeah, I don't know.
All those
options are plausible.
I can read sometimes. So some tweets. Thank you to our digital communications manager and our chief party officer, Kyle Picard and Megan Elizabeth. Not respectively, because I said out of order. For your work all season, keep us afloat.
Yeah, they killed it. They killed it. Give them awards.
Johnny Bananas says, or first Tony said, how TF, and this is probably fair, how TF I get pulled into this meeting, the thing with Devin. Only thing on my mind is not effing up my proposal I'm about to do in front of the whole world. Embarrassed emoji, engagement ring emoji.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you see, people are snatching my wig on RHAP's main podcast on the emoji reads.
I know, you're a full trendsetter.
Well, here's the irony. Someone was like, oh, Rob's taking Ali's thing. Everything I do was taken from Rob. So if Rob wants to do one thing that's actually not that creative that I started doing, I'm sure millions of people do it. He's more than welcome to do it. The whole social media segment is a complete ripoff of Rob. So there's my official response. Johnny Bananas retweeted that and said, you definitely should have stuck up for Devin. Kind of like he stuck up for you the night you slipped and body slammed yourself in the driveway. Smirk emoji. Again, Bananas like bashing the slip thing is so annoying. Okay. But I read it because I'm a journalist. Okay. Tori Hall said, this is so trashy and sloppy. There's a time and place to address certain actions, and national television is not the place to discuss the bedroom. At Brad Fiorenza, you handled that with class. Hashtag the challenge reunion. Hands up emoji.
I feel like on for the challenge, national audience is exactly when all these things should be discussed.
I mean, what about when Brad like had sex on television? Like, I don't know, like... I just love Tori saying this. This tweet blew my mind when I saw this, but okay. Jemmy wrote, what is a basic I love you program and how do I get on one of those? At Brad, crying emoji.
I thought Jemmy had a slight chance to show up to the reunion also, even though she had literally no impact.
We thought a lot was lost with Jemmy leaving the show so early. The reunion is really what suffered.
Yeah, I could see her hosting these one day.
I would love that. But that would mean she'd have to like really be done. She'd have to be like Fizz level of done from the show.
I think I'd be okay with that.
Although, what if she hosted, just like I forget Sylvia's achievements, I feel like you forget when Jemmy's good on the show.
Yeah, there's not as many moments.
But she, I feel like I have it on the last podcast. I don't know. I feel like Jemmy could have actually hosted this reunion. I take back what I said about her having to need to be done to the show to host.
Yep.
That would have been a good spot.
It would have been.
Cam, I pulled this to read because I thought it was worth reading. Cam said, I won every elimination of my rookie season and on this season. Super proud of myself. That's it. She didn't say that's it, but like that was it. Then I pulled a few things from today, or last week. Marie and Angela have some beef. Getting DMs about Angela live. One, never been bad to you. Two, I hung out with you way before I asked you for your plastic surgeon. And three, you have great clothes and wear them once. My friends and I share. Why wouldn't I ask you? Don't act like I'm fake now just because I hate Nelson. Okay. And Brittany said, this is from this week. And you know what? MTV asked me to send them this for the reunion, but I ignored it because I wanted to really confront only one person and one person only. But I'm sick and effing tired of being called a liar and the fake, the liar and the fake. So here you go, fraud effing city. And it is a DM from Davon. Good for Brittany to get the follow confirmed from Davon. Let me prepare you, laugh cry emoji, laugh cry emoji, laugh cry emoji. I say a lot more stuff as the time goes on. Never anything to belittle or degrade you, but I do crack a lot of jokes about the situation. So let me let you know in advance what's to come. LOL. That's why I really haven't been responding to you on social media leading up to the premiere, because I'm not fake, and I knew I talked a lot of shit about the you and Chuck situation in my confessionals. Again, nothing harsh, just cracking a bunch of jokes. Yep, nothing harsh. You're an absolutely batshit crazy person. Not harsh, though.
Not harsh, just true.
And Jemmy wrote, for the record, the story Britt told tonight at the reunion is the exact story she told me the day or two after it all happened. You may not like the girl, but she's always honest. Black heart emoji. And then Ninja Jules, who's a Twitter person, responded, I was there. Brad was all over Britt. I don't think anyone doesn't believe that happened.
No, definitely happened.
And Brittany's been getting a lot of slut shaming, I guess. So she said, if I wanted to be an effing nun, I wouldn't do reality TV. Guess what? I'm very open about basically everything in my life. No shame. TF makes y'all think that if I'm willing to be sexual on TV, that I'm not going to talk about it openly. Fake ASS prudes.
Good for her.
Good for us.
Good for all of us.
I do have one little thing I promised from 2 weeks ago. Rourke and I went really long and I had to bake pies for Thanksgiving, so I didn't get to ask Rourke about what she thought about the people from Love Island being on the challenge. And she told me that she thinks Georgia will be a hoe. I think she means a woman with full agency and building her life. No, but I think Georgia will be a hoe. And Theo's going to drive everyone insane, as in he's annoying. Ooh. So that's the official Rourke take. In fairness, I sprung this on her like 2 hours before I needed a response, and she has a final in like a minute. So I think that was a great response. I think she summed it up fine.
Yeah, much more than I could have done. So perfect.
Yeah, challenge is going to be. I don't think the thing about Georgia and Theo is that they were like barely on Love Island. They were not mainstays, and I wonder if like the people with larger roles declined, or if they for some reason wanted people who were not really on it. But we know very little about them, even from watching it. And Theo's kind of like, Theo's probably going to be a more interesting character because he was like already playing mind games on the show mm-hmm. when you didn't need to be. But it's not like you really need to know any background about them because we don't really know anything, even as a Love Island audience. Right.
Well, I can't wait to judge them completely on this wild world of the challenge.
And everyone can see now why I usually don't come on the podcast this close to my exams, because I don't have my head together. I think this is the closest to an actual exam I've stuck with the podcast, just because it was like the last episode.
Right. Well, finish strong.
You're welcome, and I'm sorry to everyone.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Greatly appreciate it.
I should have not.
Alrighty. Well, you can subscribe for looking at the next season at robiswebsite.com/challenge. iTunes, follow me on Twitter at @ColinBryan_. They can follow you
at @LashTweets.
You popping up on any other podcast anytime soon?
No, we've people like at us about like doing things for CT's wedding and doing things for X on the Beach. Like, we're not the Bachelor podcast. We can't just do everything when like MTV lays an egg. We have to be there to incubate it, you know, like we can't do it all. I think I can't imagine CT's wedding's going to need a podcast. It's also the 2 weeks of my finals. I can say that I will live tweet it when I watch it.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
If something particularly interesting happens, Brian, and you want to jump on and do a 10-minute thing with me, maybe we could do that. But
alrighty.
Just watch and enjoy CT's love.
There you go. Enjoy love. We need a little bit of love and happiness after that. So enjoy that. Anything
that's
else?
That's all I have.
Let's end on that. Alrighty. Until next season, which will probably be like in 2 weeks. Have a good one.